Market moving insight and analysis. Join Jim Cramer, David Faber, and me, Carl Quintanilla, on the opening bell hour of CNBC Squawk on the Street. Okay. Good Monday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with Jim Cramer, David Faber at the New York Stock Exchange. Final week of Q3. Futures are mixed. NASDAQ looks to be on the losing end of a 10-year yield above 1.5 for the first time since June. Oil's back to three-year highs. A crowded week as we watch for the House votes on infrastructure and three appearances by Fed Chair Powell. Our roadmap begins with continued volatility as the street looks to close out its worst month in nearly a year.
Plus, those supply chain woes, well, they're worsening. Goldman is pushing back its recovery assumptions, now forecasting an improving chip supply, not until next year.
And pushing pause after the backlash, Facebook says it will reevaluate its work on Instagram for kids at a later date. But we are going to close out the month and the quarter this week, Jim. It's going to be not busy from a micro standpoint, but a lot to watch still.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're losing groups. That's the issue. Housing has been very strong, but we have supply chain issues with housing. That's not going to continue. That group, I think, can start falling off. The semiconductors, we are now getting to the point, Micron reports this week, where people are saying the semiconductor companies have shortages themselves. Now, the most pertinent one that I saw today was in the Nikkei publication, Nikkei Asia, which talked about how key Apple suppliers have to cut back. Why? Because of energy issues in China. And I don't think people are really ready for a Chinese crackdown, David, on energy consumption.
It's happening. And by the way, there's an energy story globally that we kind of touched on here and there, but we're going to continue to have to because it's not just China. It's obviously right. Energy prices in Europe. Natural gas prices are soaring around the globe, certainly in Asia. They're very happy, those that have the actual fixed price contracts, to get our exported LNG at a fixed price because it's going crazy in Asia. But your point on China, yeah, coal they're trying to actually take down because of emissions and trying to actually get a bit better on that side of things. They have terrible air pollution, of course, and carbon overall. And they're starting to have some energy issues.
Incredible, because I think there's a lot of people who feel that we're going to talk a lot about this, that China's invincible. That China's passed us. A lot of negatives about the United States. And yet when I listen and read about China, yes, they have a government that could bail out lots of different people. But I do find that the idea that China is all powerful does not jive with the idea that they have to cut energy for a company. Unimicron circuit board maker stops production. Yeah. I mean, there's a Foxconn shut in Kunshan facility because of electric supply. This is not what we expect.
No, and it pertains to, in the UK, for example, the number of just drivers getting fuel to pumps. You got 90% of some of the pumps there dry in the major cities. But nat gas isn't like oil, where it immediately reflects itself in your gas pump.
No.
They're building supplies now. And by the way, Goldman takes their Brent forecast to 90 by year end today.
We're just not producing the way we used to. I mean, you look at Devon, which has been the hottest stock. And what is Devin doing? Devin is saying, okay, listen, we're not going to overspend anymore. It's run by a real guy, Rick Moncrief. Same thing. Look, when Diamondback Energy signaled that they're going to return money to shareholders, Diamondback, I don't want to call them reckless. I'm going to call them aggressive. But that was the signal. Look, we're just not producing like we're going to produce. If that's the case, we are going to cut back in production, maybe get on to 9 million barrels. And no one is stepping up. Aramco is paying a $75 billion dividend. They're not stepping up. So we do have the possibility of just all over the place not having enough energy. This Britain shutdown, and we're claiming it's like trucks. But
The wind stopped blowing in the North Sea. I know it sounds kind of bizarre to say that, but
it's always sunny in Germany.
It's true. And so wind production there has, or power production from wind has declined. And there's the Goldman note. And by the way, Jim, I mean, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. You're making the point again. I think it's an important one that these companies that have typically increased and ramped up production, shale production in the Permian, are not doing it. Instead, they're returning capital to shareholders.
And their stocks are going up, which is, they care about that.
Right. And so Goldman, part of their note is, listen, you know, it's not just about OPEC not ramping up or not ramping up enough, but the shale supply response, they say, just starting.
Also, the idea that economic activity has survived the variant in ways that Goldman did not forecast.
No, I mean, I think that I have Union Pacific on it. Obviously, there's a lot of finger pointing about West Coast port. But what's clear is that people are shopping like mad in this country. And no one thought that would happen. I mean, when Costco limits toilet paper again, I mean, it's people at Costco, they're going nuts shopping. So, and then we have an infrastructure bill coming. And wouldn't it be interesting that since we have so many jobs that are unfilled, everywhere you go, help wanted. I was in Quakertown, Pennsylvania this weekend. If you just walk in to Quakertown, you can get $22. I see it. I mean, manufacturers come in, get $22 an hour. I was like going to walk in just for a couple, $22 an hour for the weekend.
Take a shift?
Yeah, versus like my wife had me pulling weeds from a pond this weekend.
What'd you get paid for that?
Nothing, but I offered my stepson a ton of money because it was killing my back.
Yeah.
There you go.
Pulling weeds will do that too.
I have a picture of it. I also have a picture of the emu that we're trying to save. Last place called Last Chance Rants. I mean, that doesn't sound positive.
I think goats, right? Goats and emus?
I'm looking for goats, yeah. Yep. I got a cow herder of a dog. I'm looking for a little something for the dog to do other than bite my ears. But look, I do think that we're in some sort of moment where the American people are traveling again. The American people are bullish. But very few people other than, say, Laura Alber at Williams-Sonoma have been able to navigate this thing. I mean, the fact that Costco had to hire some ships. Carl, I mean, we are out of control in terms of our consumption, and we just don't have enough stuff to buy.
It brings us to another Goldman note this morning, and that is on the supply chain. Goldman says that basically the shortage in chips does appear to be worsening with plant shutdowns in Southeast Asia leading automakers to cut September production. Jim, they say the vaccination rates are getting better. But nonetheless, we push back our assumption for improving supply from the fall to the first half of 22.
Yeah, well, I read it. Jim Farley was on a panel last week, the CEO of Ford. And a number that stuck out for me was that Taiwan Semi, which is the largest foundry, only 4%, David, 4% of their product is chips for autos because you don't make any money. And nothing has changed. Of course, Washington, there's been more meetings about having a foundry. I mean, but Taiwan Semi doesn't want to make $2 chips if it can make
$20. And the higher margin chips are not typically for the auto.
Right, so who should make the lower? Only a government subsidy. By the way, did you see the government subsidy if it goes through this week for electric cars?
In the infrastructure bill, not the I don't know what they call
like
the bigger bill.
You buy one of those.
Yeah, no, it is. Although, isn't there a union provision there included in that?
Unions.
It's got to be, right. So that's why Tesla, that's why Musk has been kind of fighting.
And Toyota has been vocal as well.
Meanwhile, Tesla full bore China.
Apparently, saying this week it could be the most critical week
incredible
in deliveries in the company's history.
I think that Tesla's stock, I don't know if people have been noticing it, but it just climbs and climbs. And it has been an umbrella for a bunch of stocks, particularly Lucid. Do you see the valuations? There's one coming public today that is an auto company.
Yes.
Polestar.
Yes.
It's being valued at $20 billion. Lucid's $41 billion, David.
That's right.
Fisker's only $4.4 billion. What is that?
I don't know. But Lucid,
why is that valued correctly?
Lucid and Ford are not that far apart.
Everyone compares everything to Ford.
Well it's worth doing.
It's bigger than
perhaps
Ford.
Perhaps the most iconic automaker, the first one. I mean, you know, why not? By the way, the one that didn't go bankrupt, let's not forget, they didn't.
They have an EV plan. You know that it's very interesting. They have a Mustang, this Mach-E. It's sold out. I mean, so like they advertise anyway. I bought a Maverick, which is a mini pickup, about 5 months ago. I haven't seen it.
Still haven't gotten it?
No. Why advertise? They're not advertising Maverick.
Well, we talked about inventory levels at the dealer.
There are no real
cars available. But this gets back to when is this going to start to have a real impact on economic growth? The supply chain issues, energy issues around the globe, the worker shortages. I mean, add it all up for me, because we talk about it, we will continue to. It's now the fourth quarter, just about there, right?
No, look, I was watching Brian Sullivan this morning, and he had started his show by saying, it is amazing that the market could be going up. I am beginning to think, Carl, the market has very little to do with the things we talk about. I think, again, the market at 1.5 for the 10-year, you know, versus just owning the S&P. Sorry, S&P. I just think that money comes in every single week, and it goes into stocks, not bonds, because it would be idiotic to go into bonds. So, Carl, like, it's not like the S&P does not distinguish between buying Toll Brothers or J.P. Morgan. It just doesn't. It just goes.
You got household net worth in this country at record highs.
I know.
Where else would you go at this point? I mean, ether, I suppose. You can make an argument. That's before accounting for buybacks.
Look, I think you should. I mean, I did a piece that was really kind of sacrilegious. Listen, you got to buy the oils. You got to buy the oils because we have it. We have natural gas. David, we have an abundance of natural gas. Cabot oil and gas, Dave. You want one Cabot oil and gas.
We have an enormous amount of natural gas. By the way, that goes to another thing. I mean, what about inflation? This is going to be a very expensive year to heat your home.
Biggest inflation
and propane. As well, which is connected.
Look at that gas chart.
Yeah, look at that.
I had Sharif Suki on, the visionary, who said that one day, I mean, he's doing Tellurian, but he was the guy who built, he built Cheniere.
Yes, he did.
And that's making an absolute fortune because he was charged. This is the price that they were paying to export. Remember, we had $3 net gas.
Yep.
And, you know, you buy this thing and sell it at 16. I mean,
Now, many of them, when they set up the trains, the terminals that actually export, they do have long-term contracts with the buyers.
Much
higher rates. That's how you actually can finance it.
Now, if we were there.
Because these are huge infrastructure projects.
If we were doing our show from there, which would be kind of cool.
Yeah, it would be.
You know, Sharif Suki invited me to be on the launch of the first one. And then he got fired, so they took that invitation back.
Thank you, Carl Icahn.
But I do think that you would be down there. You would think this country is booming. Instead, you know, Avery Dennison, and those are the factories that I was looking at. Avery Dennison is an interesting opportunity. Donnelly, R.R. Donnelly. This is in this Quakertown thing. I mean, I use this as like Anywhere America.
Yep.
And, you know, it's $22. And yet they still can't find workers. Truck drivers, because they'd cut the number of hours down. They're not able to drive all night anymore, which I think is good. But I do think that everybody has to be paid more. Where's the money going to
come from? You got daily cases down almost 20% since the beginning of the month. You got antivirals on the way. If you listen to Gottlieb, you may have kids vaccinated in a matter of days, at least, when Pfizer says they may submit their requests.
Well, then maybe people come back to work. I mean, bus drivers don't want to work if they're over 65 because they're worried about a lot of people don't trust the vaccines, David.
Well, I do.
Oh, well, that's great. It's not about you.
It isn't?
No.
Okay.
That's what my wife says all the time. It's not about you, Jim.
Well, you beg to differ with that.
Do you see the picture of the emu I put up?
No.
It's got a great level of intelligence. And I looked at a pot-bellied pig. They understand 435 words, which is a lot more than some of the people I know. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to look
right. I didn't mean to look right at you when I said that.
It was just a chair.
After the break, we'll talk some Facebook, as we said, pausing Instagram. Kids, Adam Mosseri on the Today Show this morning. Take a look at the futures. As we said, they're mixed, as we do keep an eye on that 10-year above 1.5 and oil above 75.50. Back in a minute.
Today, we want to talk about how we're going to put the work on pause. I still firmly believe that it's a good thing to build a version of Instagram that's designed to be safe for tweens. But we want to take the time to talk to parents and researchers and safety experts and get to more consensus about how to move forward.
Adam Mosseri, head of Instagram, this morning on the Today Show, talking about the pause on Instagram. Kids, it's not often that you see the company in any kind of retreat, actually, on
not
policy.
Not at all. And I want to say that it is entirely possible to look at these guys in a different way, Facebook. Now, I talked to Mark Benioff last week, and obviously
he has a point of view. Yeah, he has a distinct point of view, and it's quite negative when it comes to
he's
Facebook.
He's speaking at a conference that I'm giving this week, and I don't think he's going to change his view off of this.
No.
But I think that this is a very big change. And why, Carl? It's a very big change because, I mean, they've said that they're ahead on child protection. They have often said that they're ahead, that they have detected millions of attacks on children. And for them to do this, I credit them. Now, I know you take your, if you're a journalist, it is usual that you never credit Facebook with anything. I still think that Benioff raises good points about power versus truth. That's what Benioff keeps talking about, that it's not a single source of truth and that they're willing to put in a lot of things that are really misinformation about vaccines, about the illness. But I'm glad that I thought this was good.
Do you think it has anything to do with advertisers actually speaking up and saying we have real concerns about placement?
I think that they want to eliminate that as an objection. They want to be able to say, David, you know what they want to be able to say. Look, we are really in your camp.
Yeah.
Yeah, in your camp.
But, you know, but what I want to come back to is the stock price, because as important as Facebook is in terms of the social environment of the United States or the world, we're here also to sort of talk about the stock. So you're seeing a stock that's up, 28% this year, still outperforming the market.
29, yeah.
It has retreated lately. It's no longer a trillion-dollar company, just below that. It had amazingly, what was over 50% top line. The numbers, top line numbers were stunning last quarter. And as you pointed out many times, it trades at a multiple, given that top line growth, that is not expensive by many measures. But what's this going to mean for the stock price, Jim? Is this
nothing.
Going to be a never-ending sort of...
I mean, nothing.
Don't think so. I mean, small and medium-sized businesses will continue to use it as their way to advertise.
You cannot reach people without this. If you want to start a business, you have to be on Instagram. Facebook for the major companies, it sells at 25 times earnings. David, I've got to tell you, that is very inexpensive. And so, therefore, you know, people are saying, why do I have to be in other companies when they're probably going to make their numbers? They've already lowered numbers to the point where I don't think they have any problem beating them. David, there is no concerted effort by people to avoid Instagram.
Not to mention no supply chain issues, really, since your content is
great
free
point.
And
yes.
Not physical.
No,
right.
And remember, all the chips that are... By the way, do you ever hear that there's a chip shortage for Amazon or for Facebook or for Alphabet? No, because that's what they make the chips for.
They could continue to increase their costs by hiring more and more people to...
Oh, the Amazon note that you got today?
That's part of the Morgan Stanley note.
To do the policing.
Yeah. Morgan Stanley, yeah, that was 60-90% cut in EBITDA because of wage pressure.
That's Amazon, yeah.
They say Amazon could be range-bound. Do you think they'll ever get a call from Andy Jassy again?
I don't know.
How's the Giants? A little better than the Jets.
Not really. 0-3 is 0-3. Doesn't matter how you
how
got there.
Did you score?
Well, it doesn't really matter. I mean, if you lose, you lose.
Well, I think
I'd rather lose 26-0, because that way at least there was nothing at stake.
I've never felt that way as an Eagles fan.
You'd have it?
Well, it's great that I got beat 20.
Really, it doesn't matter. Even if you make it to the Skins.
So a close game.
What's the difference? You lose in the Super Bowl or you go 0-16, it's the same. You didn't win.
You have very strange views.
The only way I can live as a New York sports fan is believing those things. Because otherwise, it's hopeless. Which it is. It's hopeless.
That's a really positive attitude,
exactly. Yes,
isn't it? You come to play.
He's
with
Denver. He's happy.
We've got
you guys look good.
We got
and you had Judy on the bench. You look good, man.
Kramer's Mad Dash coming up and the opening bell. Keep your eyes on the pre-market as we'll get the opening bell in 9 minutes.
Time for a mad dash as we get ready for an opening bell about 6.5 minutes or so from now. Mike Ron.
Remember Terminator 2 Judgment Day?
Yes.
Okay, so tomorrow's Judgment Day for Mike Ron. There we go.
That, by the way, is an emu. Which I wanted to know what they look like.
That's the last
that
chance.
That is one
Rand.
Funny
we
looking.
Go, we were going to adopt.
Funny looking animal.
We're going to adopt probably a pig or a goat, but this guy's available for anyone who wants.
So you don't own him
she.
Yet?
No, but they spit, apparently.
Yes.
And that's they eat a lot of. Like, some
and what do they do? What are they known for?
They are anchors, they're co-anchors.
Uh huh.
And they say nicer things than some other co-anchors and are friendly and often agree.
Got it.
Okay?
Oh, yeah, there's an ad, an insurance ad, isn't there? It has the emu
Liberty,
in it?
Liberty. Yeah. And then they add that Liberty.
All right, we're not talking Liberty in the Mad Dash.
No,
we're talking Micron.
Emu.
Yeah, let's get back to that.
All right, so listen to me, will you? Dainley at Citi, who's always loved to talk, he says that the bottom will be in a couple months for Micron. There's a DRAM correction. Raymond James cut numbers. What matters here, David, is that they are DRAM and they are also flash. But look at this. This has been bad stock.
Yes, it has.
And now people are starting to realize it's bad.
I thought you liked it.
I do like it.
You still like it?
Well, not as much as I like NVIDIA and AMD.
Okay, but you've liked those the most of any.
I would never name my dog Micron.
Right.
Ever.
Well, what do we make of this latest note?
Well, no, we just think that I think this could be like FedEx, where everyone's going to be disappointed. Everyone says the disappointment's coming, then you get disappointed. But then you have to buy.
Okay. But not yet.
No. All right. What do you think? Want to adopt the emu?
No. I have no interest in adopting an emu. But you will. Maybe they can pull weeds for you instead of you having to do it. We've got an opening bell coming up.
I agree that within a year, I think we will be able to come back to normal life. I don't think that this means that variants will not be continue coming, and I don't think that this means that we should be able to live our lives without having immune, without having vaccinations, basically. But that's, again, remains to be seen.
That's Pfizer CEO Albert Bourla over the weekend on ABC News talking about the prospect of what he called normal life in the year ahead. One thing, David, that we talked about a bit on Friday when you were out was the continued and intensified focus on Merck, Roche,
yes,
and Pfizer on pill-based therapeutics.
Yeah, Gottlieb talked about it this morning as well in his appearance on Squawk Box. Listen, we've been focused on it now for almost a year and a half since we did that first interview with Ridgeback Biotherapeutics,
but
of course,
did you feel it, Dr.
about the Merck drug, which is molnupiravir, which is in phase three, which may get, let's hope, all of us, phase three trials will look good, emergency approval by the end of the year.
But Dr. Gottlieb was also on the board of Pfizer, was very positive on the vaccines. I have Dr. Gottlieb on tonight because of his book, which, again, I reiterate, is a must read. If only if you looked at the Oval Office and President Trump. And President Trump was not as much of a visionary as many think when it came to this illness. He didn't really believe in masks at all, but maybe that, you know, I think he believed that there's a level of, it's called masculinity, that was necessary to maintain.
Sure, sure.
Dr. Gottlieb was talking about a level of life or death.
Right.
So they're really kind of at odds there.
Yep. We're going to keep our eye on it. Obviously, it's a huge point of focus. There's the opening bell, by the way. Real-time exchange at CNBC. At the big board, it's Jackson Financial celebrating the recent listing and spinoff from Prudential. At the NASDAQ, it is Progress Software celebrating its 40th anniversary.
Oh, really? Progress is an interesting company. It's done very well.
So will you be watching financials first today or what?
Absolutely. I mean, I want to see Goldman go over 400. It'd been hit when they made that acquisition. J.P. Morgan seems to be headed toward 170. It's rather I saw Stephanie Link at a party on Friday. She is on a lot of it. And she was saying to me, Jim, your Chapel Trust, it just doesn't have enough financials. Doesn't have enough financials. And, of course, it was like kind of a party that really wasn't about the financials. But it got turned into a financial party because of the vociferous way that she thinks we should be buying American Express. Now, I do think that the financials are the group to be bought other than the oils. Because for some reason, the oils, when they go up, people are regarding that as a sign not of limited supply, but of incredible demand. And when interest rates touch 1.5, people are going nuts. Tenure.
So then do you wash your hands of Microsoft, which is the worst Dow stock at the moment? Are any of these mega cap tech names?
They always come back. In the end, when we see the quarters, no one will like bank quarters. They won't like them.
Although, they had the most amazing quarters I think we've ever seen, certainly from companies that are mature. Microsoft, Amazon,
they're
Facebook, Alphabet, those top line numbers, I don't know that we'll ever see growth like that. Certainly not from companies that have been around 10, 20, 30,
no,
40 years.
Reinvent. Like, I thought that
the response to those quarters was not that great.
No, it wasn't. But when you look at the years, they've been crazy.
Yeah.
Years are great. Look at Facebook. Honestly, you mentioned Facebook.
I did.
It's up 29%.
It is.
I mean, if Facebook were really troubled. Now, Apple, I think, is totally a function of not being able, perhaps, to make the phone. But then there's a note today, and it really bothers me. There's a note about what do we look at with Apple? Do we look at the number of builds and how many weeks? That was the typical thing. It was how many weeks before you can get the phone. I mean, if you watch football over the weekend, all you see is if you sign up with one of these companies, David, you get the phone.
I
That's
know.
What matters.
Yes.
That's what matters.
That is. That's a very important component of the entire buy decision right now is the subsidies you get from the carriers. Yeah.
My wife is 3G. You can't use her phone.
Why does she have 3G?
Well, that's what it comes out when you're not in good areas.
Oh, I see. Right.
I mean, 3G, David, it's kind of like a buggy.
It is, but you've also got to make sure your carrier actually, in particular in rural areas, because you're talking here about the farm.
Exactly.
That you're not getting 5G in a lot of.
I bought with Bitcoin that I told my wife. I said, you know what? We're going to drill for oil. We're close enough. We're going to drill.
Well, it's where it all started, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, but that was Wes. Oh. You read the Rockefeller book.
I did.
I'm telling you, we are close enough. I'm drilling for nat gas.
You are? You got to get a pipeline that's going to get it out of there, and that's part of the problem.
Well, I hadn't thought of that.
Really? You haven't thought about it? You've been talking about it for years, lack of pipelines.
Oh, they did. They stopped the Atlantic pipeline. You're right. It could be trapped nat gas.
It's not going to help you.
It's not good. Well, all I can tell you is that I am 20 miles from nat gas land, and I don't think that I think it's worth drilling.
What is that one, Marcel? What's Pennsylvania?
No, it's an area near Navasink.
It doesn't have a name, the shale there? Formation?
It's Kramer.
It's Kramer.
Drilling in the Kramer, yes.
The Kramer, David, you wouldn't believe.
I wouldn't believe.
Yeah, believe me, you can drill on the Upper West Side. I'm going to tell you, you don't come up with jack.
Well, you'll find some stuff, but you don't want any of it.
At $5, I can pipe that stuff myself somewhere.
Pretty good host of gainers here, Jim. As we said, a lot of them financial and energy related, but there's some travel in there as well. Some of the airlines, the cruise lines hanging in there.
Yeah.
Fidelity, Uri and Timmer had a great chart overlaying the number of cases against the Goldman Sachs reopening index. And what you saw is a huge swing up when we got the variant, when that arrived. The reopening index, the lockdown index, I should say, didn't really go anywhere.
No.
We have found ways to live with it.
Royal Caribbean, a lot of people felt completely bushwhacked by the $90 offering that they did. Well, you know what? It's $92 now. And I just think that the cruise ships, a lot of people I know are back and they're cruising. And cruising Great Barrier. And I can't believe it. I mean, they're just like, well, listen, why not? Safe. Everybody's got to be vaccinated. So it is, if you're on a Norwegian cruise, got to be vaccinated. So I think it's travel time. Watch American Express. This stock, which was at 160 just a few weeks ago, is a total play on people going out and spending. Small business. David, the small business move is real.
I would assume it is. Why would I doubt that it's real?
Well, because a lot of people felt small business put out of business by them.
Well, small business, I mean, they're facing the same issues that everybody else is. They're facing supply chain issues if they've got something that they've got to get here or need a commodity that goes into their final product. They're facing staffing issues.
Yes.
They're facing cost issues of all those commodities that they need to buy if that's part of what they're doing.
Okay, so how about this, David? Let me ask you something. All right?
Yeah.
You have younger kids.
So they
got to
pass along.
You have younger kids.
Not so young anymore, but yeah, younger.
All right. Well,
younger than yours.
Yes.
Yeah.
Why doesn't everyone, I was at a restaurant, one of my favorite restaurants, and I went in on Sunday, it was closed.
Okay.
Why staff it? Well, how about this idea? Mm. How about if you pay people a living wage? Will they not show?
I think.
Now, is that because you don't want to make as much money? You're afraid of how much labor makes versus capital?
Listen, you're making a good point. That's part of what the overall hope has been, hasn't it? That we would get wage increases.
Yeah, I mean, look, pay people $25 an hour. They're going to show up. Now, $22 a day, at these factories, I don't know. But if you $25, maybe pay them $30 so you don't make as much.
You're literally in the restaurant business. So the question is, can you afford as a restaurateur to charge $100 for a steak? Which a lot of restaurateurs say.
No, absolutely not.
You can't.
No, you can't charge that for food and can't pay above a certain level before it's not worth it. And that's the problem. Is it worth it? But people aren't. It's not like, David, people going out of business. People are making a decision that they're not going to make a lot of money right now or not make money and stay open and maybe somehow things will get better. What are they waiting for?
For things to get better.
No, I'm saying will more people come back to work? I mean,
well, yes, they will.
Where are they?
I don't know. I flew across the country this weekend, and I think
you're
they're in the, I think they're in the airports. That's where I think they are.
What, you mean living in the airports?
Traveling. I don't know. They're everywhere but work.
Carl, I got to know. I mean, maybe we're just not paid. As a country, the longshore people, maybe they're not being paid enough to show up. I mean, you saw that article this weekend.
The Port of L.A.?
Well, why don't we, and no one will pay them more? I mean, I think we just, this is the wage inflation issue. Maybe we all have to recognize that labor is going to win and capital not. Isn't that what J. Powell's about in the end?
I think it's totally about changing that pendulum, which has swung only one way for three decades.
Right.
And by the way, you are describing jobs where you have to show up. These are not jobs that you can do remotely, is what you're describing as well.
I'm just saying, when CEOs are making $40-50 million and people rank and file are making $18 an hour, I'm saying that may be over.
You're looking more like Lenin every minute here.
I knew you'd have to shave here to look like
Lenin. I like it. You're going back to your roots.
I'm still stopped on the street by saying, are you Lenin's? I know you. I know you're Lenin's great. No, I'm like not related to Lenin.
No, you're not more likely Trotsky than Lenin.
I love Trotsky. Trotsky believed that the workers own the means of production.
Yes.
So therefore, the workers should be paid like that.
It does take us right back to that Morgan Stanley note. They take Amazon's target from 4,300 down to 4,100. They look at the logistics headcount at Amazon, and they are looking at cost per unit up 50 year on year.
Look, I think that if you want to know a company that's going to be able to figure out how to not work with a lot of people, it's Amazon. So I think that that note is ill-informed. I think that Amazon has more people thinking about not having people than any other firm. So I don't think that you should sell. I saw that people sell on Amazon, and that is crazy. I mean, Amazon has the capability of making it so that the factories of the future are not going to have many people. They're just not.
Really quick, sort of ancillary to Amazon is media. Disney, Shang-Chi is now the top grossing film of the pandemic era, surpassing Black Widow, almost $200 million in North America. And then, of course, Netflix, their ta-dum event in which they rolled out, I think, 70 new series.
Good, because we need
something to watch. The new Stranger Things, the new Emily in Paris.
I mean, there's just nothing to watch. It's just a nightmare. Okay, now people are going to say, oh, that's Kramer's, talking about Kramer's first world problem.
It
I'm
is,
just saying,
The sums being spent on content continue to astound. There is a question as to how long that can continue, but for now it's the case. And we
all
know
Disney was oversold.
Direct-to-consumer is the key product offering from so many of these companies. And, you know, the question really is not, it's are you spending enough? If you're Peacock, which is owned by our parent company, Comcast, are you spending enough? If you're Paramount Plus, are you spending enough? If you're Disney Plus, how much more can you spend? You know why? In part, Apple's now starting to really spend money.
I
derided their product offering for some time because there was nothing there. But that's changing. And they're ramping it up in a big way at Apple. So you have to add that in terms of the content spend.
But how about go back to Disney, David?
Yeah.
I mean, Bob Chapek said, made some comments about dividend and buyback. I mean, frankly, if you're Disney, you don't want this dividend buyback. You want growth.
Right.
You know, Disney's a growth company. And the stock went down to 171.
Well, because he talked about some moderation in growth of subs, right? And that's what investors are most focused on.
People going to the movies.
They're going a little bit.
They win either way. My travel source knows it. Back in it.
Right.
Back in it.
You're back in Disney.
Back in it.
Okay.
Well, because I love the dual model.
The dual model.
Totally.
This is the
AMC Adam Aaron model.
Yep.
Adam's very bullish, David, on AMC.
Yeah, well, we don't talk about ESPN too often. Sort of how that ends.
Well, no,
kind of,
I think
so
that we have to because you know what happens tonight.
Tonight the Eagles play?
Play the Cowboys.
Yeah.
How about the reports last week that I think it was The Athletic, Jim, that said that the NFL prefers Apple as the vendor for direct ticket?
Yeah.
Which is really the last major NFL rights package
for
the next decade.
So you don't think it's
going to
go to Amazon?
That's been the other report.
That's where we are now. It's Apple and Amazon when you think about sort of, I mean.
I finally got the cited guy, the guy from, it's from MasTech, DirecTV outsources. I finally got the dish right after missing the first 2 weeks of the NFL. Now I think about my high-quality problems, Netflix versus the NFL.
Right.
But I find that if you got Apple, wow, I mean, do you really need a dish? Aren't you on Wi-Fi? You can be on Wi-Fi and direct if you're around.
What's interesting is sports rights, if you get those two actively bidding for them, are probably headed even higher, which seems hard to imagine in some way. But ESPN obviously has taken them to a very...
Does that mean Dave Tepper makes more money?
David Tepper will make more money. And
that's good.
He probably didn't even go into it expecting to make money, any money at all.
Not at all.
Right? That wasn't about money.
Not about that team.
Jacksonville, it's just about having fun.
Yeah, absolutely right.
Guys, SPACland, we've had a couple today. They were on Squawk Box, one of them, the Gores deal. Also, you got this STRC, this robotics company. Oh, my. I do notice it down about 10%. The pipe, it looks like they had very high redemptions. But, again, this goes back to a pet peeve of mine. We don't know exactly. There's Rotor acquisition. Yeah, there it is. We don't know exactly what it was. We only know that the pipe was 220. They raised 260, so you'd have to imagine redemptions were very high. But they said that they didn't need any more cash than what the pipe was providing for them to reach their goals, potentially even free cash flow. Did you notice the Journal wrote up the story that I've been doing endless times about day trading and these names that get high redemption?
Said really good things about you. I mean, well, they watch TV and then they write the article.
That's all right. But
let's write that article.
We've been talking about that.
Recent phenomenon. A lot of people are talking about it.
Gary
Gensler's trying to figure out what to do.
I still come back to this. I would like to know, when they close a deal and/or it starts trading under the name of the company as opposed to the name of the SPAC, what's the redemption rate? Tell us. We have a right to know because it's an important component of overall trading, and we're still not getting it. We're still not getting it day one. You get it in the 8K and full 8K, but you don't
just
get it right away.
Stick with the oils and stick with the banks, and you won't have to worry. Oils and banks.
That's it?
Oils and banks, David.
It's definitely the story of the morning right now, at least, as we do have things like consumer discretionary in the red. But, yeah, energy, financials, industrials for sure. Dow's up almost 190. Let's get to Bob Pisani. Hey, Bob.
You don't normally see this, Carl. Dow up 0.5%. The S&P down 0.4%. As you mentioned, that's because banks and oil are pushing the Dow up. Dow is price-weighted. Goldman's $400, having a big day. That's pushing the Dow up. S&P is down because Apple, Microsoft, Cisco, just the name stocks in the Dow Industrials that are tech, are pushing the S&P down because it's market cap weighted. And the market cap where it matters is tech stocks in the S&P. So interesting little index weighting lesson here about how these two indexes are very, very different. Here's the sectors. You see the nice move up in energy stocks, having a good year overall. Banks finally starting to move in the last few days. They've been sideways for months. Materials is part of the global growth story that's really moving things. So this story today is about higher rates and the global recovery. There you see tech lagging, and that's because of the concern about higher rates. We had this movie before, remember, back in January and February. So there's your number one story, higher rates and the global recovery. Overall, there are some concerns, vague concerns over the weekend. I got these notes, shades of 2011 when the S&P downgraded the U.S. Debt rating because of concerns about the debt ceiling drama back then. I don't think that's going to happen now, but there were vague concerns still going on. Those supply chain concerns are very, very real. I think Nike was a big story last week, and China Evergrande kind of fading a little bit as a major issue. But just take a look here at Nike. Remember, Nike's down about 7% from the earnings that they had. The bulls are continuing, the global bulls are continuing to say, guys, they said business is great. Vietnam is going to come back online. Indonesia is going to come back online. All this is going to go away, probably, but it's taken a lot longer than people had thought, even a couple of months ago. So the bulls are right. It is going to come back online, but the bears have been right, too. This has taken a lot longer than people anticipated. You see Nike down here today. Great that oil's breaking out. $75, that's a really important level. We haven't broken out on oil This would be a major breakout. We haven't been over $75 consistently on oil since 2014, 7 years. So this is a very major level for oil right now. And even for energy stocks are still negative compared to 7 years ago. If you would have invested in the S&P Energy Index right now, you'd still be down 3 or 4% if you would have bought it in 2014. That's how bad it's been. Now, energy's having a great year this year. It's great to see some of these big exploration production companies like Conoco move up and Occidental. These are great years with the S&P up 18. Even Exxon is up 40%. But it's been a long, long, slow road. And as we keep pointing out, nobody owns energy stocks anymore. That's why it's not moving the S&P 500. Why isn't this reflected? Because it was 2 or 3% of the S&P 500. That's how bad energy got in the S&P. So we keep reminding everybody that what matters is technology. It's 40% of the S&P, 27% in the index called technology, but communication services is essentially technology as well. So put it together, it's 40%. Healthcare, which is a growth sector, that's the other major group. There's consumer discretionary. There's financials. And energy is 3%. And folks, 3% energy, that's with the rally that we've had. It was 2% a few months ago. So it's wonderful that energy is breaking out. But in a world where everybody owns indexes, Carl, this is a very, very tough situation to watch. You've got to be buying energy stocks. And nobody owns those energy stocks individually, at least not anymore. Maybe it'll start a fad then. Who knows? Energy may make a comeback as individual ownership, but not in the S&P right now. Back to you, Carl.
Thanks, Bob Pisani. Take a look at the markets here. Dow now up 215, as Bob was just explaining so well. There is some impact to the S&P because of technology, down about 9.5. Bond report, see how treasuries are faring this morning. As we mentioned, the 10-year yield did hit a three-month high at 1.5, first time there since June. We should also mention that Rosengren will retire September 30th. He did mention in his letter some health issues regarding his kidney disease, but the interim will be the Boston Bank VP, Ken Montgomery. We're back in a minute. The Dow gainers this morning will tell you pretty much all you need to know. Energy, some industrials, definitely financials, and some travel names. Looking at the gains over the past 5 days, you got Carnival up 14, Delta up 8, Live Nation up 8. So the reopening play appears to be in focus, although S&P down 11 on some weakness in technology. We'll get Stop Trading with Jim in a minute. Time for Jim and Stop Trading.
Yeah, before just mentioned, I said that Facebook, not a lot of resistance. Getting people just emailing me, texting me, saying, be careful, that there is some resistance and that people are cutting back on Facebook ads. I think I have to watch this much more closely than I have. I like what Piper has to say about Best Buy. They have a number of initiatives that allow you basically to get a guarantee or, you know, Best Buy, a person comes to your house. And a lot of the technology that we have is too difficult. So I like that stock very much. When I've met with the CEO, she's really smart. That stock could go places right here, right now.
All right. Yeah, Piper adds to a top idea.
Yeah, that's Tom.
So Gottlieb tonight.
Dr. Gottlieb, and also, can we figure out supply chain with Lance Fritz from Union Pacific? I think we can. Mentioned, I think in a not as complimentary way as he should be this weekend, that basically he's one of the problems, not a solution. I think that's dead wrong. These banks are insane, and the oils. I mean, even Range Resources is going up. So I am, you know, Cramer, what, Remark? It's my name spelled backwards, David. I am getting a tractor, and I'm going to find oil in my place or not gas, and I'll let you come. I'll let you come to my place.
No, you say that on TV, but really, you won't let me.
Not true. I won't. You can go play with the emu.
Okay. Next thing you know, old Jim's a millionaire.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. There you go. Yep, the Bucks County Hillbillies.
We'll see you tonight, Jim. Mad Money, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. You've been listening to the opening bell on CNBC's Squawk on the Street.